Christ Jesus by Juan Manuel Garcia de Alba. Chapter 6, The Miracles of Jesus. The miracle accounts. All peoples idealize their heroes, forge legends and fantasies, tell stories and tales. The people of Israel was no exception. It is not hard to find traces of these idealizations, legends and fantasies in the miracle stories. It can be proven that some of the miracles have their origin in legend, but it can likewise be proven that many of them have a historical basis. We accept the possibilities of miracles without going into a discussion of the issue, and at the same time we can conclude that Jesus' wonder-working activity was historical. We accept that Jesus worked miracles not occasionally, but frequently. Although from our present-day standpoint, it is difficult to determine exactly what happened with each individual miracle and what its immediate motivation or meaning was. The people of Israel did not distinguish between the natural and the supernatural orders. Everything resulted from God's action: the rain, the fruits of the earth, children, victories or defeats. The people in the Bible did not think about natural laws. In fact, they were completely ignorant of them. God was seen especially in the most imposing and awe-inspiring phenomena. Awe was an important element in encounters with God. Miracles were a sign of power, of God's presence, and of His approval of the message. To the people of Israel, miracles were events linked to their own existence. No one questioned or doubted them. They considered it natural that God should show Himself in nature. In the Israelites' view, miracles had to do with their faith. They were linked to their history. They were events that belonged to their existence, not a parenthesis in nature. The people itself had been born of a miracle: the liberation from Egypt. Isaac and Jacob had been conceived miraculously. A miracle is not a process that occurs exclusively in the natural sphere. It forms an essential part of the historical dimension of human life. There are only miracles in relation to people. A miracle occurs in nature and has to do with nature, but it mainly has to do with history, where human beings, with their mind and their experience, try to make sense of their existence. A miracle is an event that draws attention to something out of the ordinary, that defies the laws of nature, and has a religious meaning. The miracles of Jesus. In the case of Jesus, none of his contemporaries, not even his enemies, doubted his ability to perform miracles. It was evident and undeniable that Jesus worked countless miracles. What his enemies argued was that Jesus worked miracles in league with the devil and not with God, and thereby gave signs of impiety, not piety, aside from stirring up the people. Most of Jesus' miracles were cures. Jesus had the power to regenerate what was ill, to reshape what was deformed, to restore normal functions. Jesus had the power to recreate, reorganize, revitalize. The laws of mechanics do not account for all the dynamic realities in the world. There are also chemical laws in the world, but they do not explain or encompass biological laws. Biology is surpassed by the emergence of consciousness, and consciousness by freedom, and freedom by the voluntary giving of oneself. It is to be expected that higher structures presuppose and depend on lower structures, but the lower ones do not require the higher ones. They are simply open to them, in the same way that the world does not require our presence, but it is open to receive us. Miracles, far from being a reality that is foreign to this world, are really the culmination of the world. The world is open to miracles, expects miracles, is itself a miracle, in the same way that health, life, freedom, and consciousness are. In the gospel, miracles are something that are there, that happened unexpectedly, that defied the normal laws of existence, and that are beyond our control. We should see them not as something opposed to nature, but existing in it, and as a real, passive possibility in the world. In other words, miracles can happen in the world, but the world is incapable of producing them by itself, because miracles result from a specific intervention by God. Miracles implicitly show that events in history, as well as nature, do not have to lead to a tragic destiny for humanity. Faith affirms that before all these elements is God. The world, nature and human beings themselves are susceptible to an immediate and direct intervention by God. God acts in the world, but not as one cause among many, rather as the absolute in the relative, the infinite in the finite. God Himself is the foundation, origin, center, and goal of the world's process. In the Hebrew mentality, miracles had an inner link to God's work of creation. Miracles have a religious effect, which is to cause admiration and awe, an attitude of attention and reverence, openness or inner acceptance. People felt drawn to miracles, as Moses felt himself drawn to the burning bush. Then came the acceptance of the person who performed the miracle, and very often the miracle served to prove the authenticity of his prophecy. Finally, the message and the authenticity of the person performing the miracle were accepted. It is clear that the evangelists set down the miracle stories for the same purpose, to inspire awe in those reading or hearing the gospel, which is why they choose the stories. They highlight and consider the relevant elements. They exaggerate some elements to lend them significance. They take liberty to add details. Awe leads to inner openness, to receptivity and enthusiasm. The evangelists tried to get their readers to experience the same effects that Jesus' miracles had on eyewitnesses. So their accounts were intended as an alternate way to witness the miracles and reap their fruit. For the evangelists, the most important thing was the fruit or effect of the miracle, its meaning, rather than the event itself. The first readers never doubted the possibility of miracles. They simply marveled, like those who had witnessed them in person. The presence of the exceptional fostered an attitude of openness to God and His message. The attitude of openness to God was seen as the most important fruit of a miracle, and the miracle itself guaranteed the authenticity of the message. Miracles are another way of transmitting that message. Jesus not only proclaimed the kingdom of heaven and the eschatological end, through His miracles He fulfilled it so that it could be said, "The kingdom of heaven is here, in the present, and shows itself in actions." In Jesus' case, miracles led to the acceptance of His person and knowledge of Him, due to His kindness and compassion, due to His power and authority. At the same time, they raised the great Christological question, who is Jesus? Who is He for me? In this way, the miracle stories represent a unique resource for transmitting faith in Jesus. The gospel presents the reader not just with an account of what Jesus did, but with Jesus Himself, and what Jesus did once for specific people, He can continue to do on our behalf. Each miracle reflects or announces Jesus' relationship with all human beings. In this way, a specific story becomes a universal proclamation, and what was based on a historical event became a proclamation of faith in Jesus, who kindles hope in those who read the gospel. Jesus performed miracles because He felt compassion for the sick and the needy. What brought about the miracle was a person's concrete need, Jesus' kindness, and the faith he had that God acted in him and through him. Jesus did not perform miracles to prove a theory or argue in favor of a doctrine, although the evangelists and the early church saw the miracles as clear signs for drawing certain conclusions or for transmitting their faith in Christ. The evangelists linked the miracles to doctrine, or mainly to the person of the Lord. We can say that the miracles always contain a Christological message. All the miracles in the gospel are there to support the evangelists and the gospel's fundamental message. Although it was not Jesus' intention to demonstrate anything explicitly through the miracles, nevertheless, His extraordinary power in favor of the needy made it clear that the kingdom of God was at hand. Jesus demanded faith in order to perform a miracle. He went from faith to healing, and not from healing to faith. For Jesus, miracles were patently religious signs. He spoke of God's presence and God's acting through His person. Miracles were directly linked to the proclamation of the kingdom. Unbelievers are unable to discover God's handiwork in everyday events. They have eyes but cannot see, ears but cannot hear. Miracles say nothing to those who do not believe in God. In fact, they can even make them cling more stubbornly to their disbelief, as in the case of the Pharaoh and the plagues in Egypt. Miracles are not about satisfying a desire for wonders or an obsession with security. They are intended for believers at crucial moments of their history to strengthen their faith or reveal the power of God, who never abandons the world. Jesus performed miracles without discriminating between people. He was especially sensitive to human suffering, in particular to the sick and those shunned by society because of their disease. Miracles were a clear sign of love and mercy. Jesus did not perform miracles because people deserved them, but to show the world God's love through His, by feeling compassion for the needy. After performing the miracles, Jesus encouraged the recipient to live a life worthy of God's blessings, especially the blessing of the kingdom. It is worth noting the many miracles classified as casting out the devil. The coming of the kingdom implied, among other things, wresting humanity from the power of the devil and putting it under God's care. As an outcome of the miracle, Jesus expected good behavior, confidence, feelings of thankfulness, and love. And from those witnessing the miracle, he expected acceptance of his person and his message, and a willingness to follow. Jesus was never interested in performing miracles for his own benefit. On numerous occasions, he explicitly rejected that possibility. He performed miracles without wanting to draw attention to himself. He was not trying to impress anyone with his miracles. He did want to take power by using his resources or the force of his miracles. Jesus did not feel different from his disciples on account of the miracles he performed. In his eyes, anyone who proclaimed the kingdom and had the faith that he had could work the miracles that he worked. Miracle working was not to be taken as a feature to distinguish or set Jesus apart from others. Even though Jesus did in fact stand out and earn people's admiration as a man powerful in deeds and in words, Jesus' intention when making these extraordinary interventions was to help people in need. But at the same time, and through these specific signs, he was announcing that the kingdom of heaven had come. Miracles had the character of revelation. They too were the word of God, and their meaning was more important than their circumstantial dimension. Miracles were not isolated events. They were interwoven in a whole fabric of events, because in the eyes of Israel, miracles were signs from God, valid in the context of a faith received and announced. Christological message of the miracles. There is a special relationship between miracles and creation, between the origin and the reality that emerges. Early Christianity read into the miracle stories the fact that Jesus was the creator of the universe. Whoever performs miracles having to do with regeneration, restoration, recovery, must have a special relationship with the wasted member. In other words, they are capable of restoring it because they were somehow responsible for establishing it in the first place. They can regenerate it because they were there at its original generation. The power to perform miracles reveals a specific relationship between Jesus and nature, and an even more specific relationship between Jesus and the concrete situations people find themselves in. For church fathers like St. Augustine, St. John Chrysostom, St. Irenaeus, and many others, Jesus' miracles effectively revealed what Jesus has done since the world was created. Jesus is capable of raising the dead because he is the one who gives life. Jesus can change water into wine because he is the one who changes rain into the juice of the grape. He can multiply the loaves because he is the one who makes the wheat yield 100-fold. The church fathers saw the miracles as an announcement that the relationship of human beings to Jesus is that of creatures to their creator. St. Irenaeus assigned special importance to the cure of the man born blind. He cured him with mud to reveal the hand of the one who had made him from soil. The blind man was waiting for Jesus so that he could restore the sight he had lacked since he was born. What the Word, the artificer, failed to form in the maternal womb, he completed in public so that God's works might be displayed in him, and we would have no need to look for any other hand to give form to man or any other father. Because the Lord who formed the blind man's sight is the same who, in service to the Father's will, formed the whole man. Each person refers back to the creation. Each person is a creature, and as such, imperfect, unfinished. Her vocation and task is to become more and more a faithful image and likeness of God. The world is still unfinished, and the work of creation goes on. Thus, Jesus can work in people and complete what was somehow left unfinished. St. Irenaeus says that God's supreme work is the configuration of man, which is accomplished in life and throughout history, and which the Father effects through his Word, which is Jesus. In an unfinished creation such as the world we live in, there is nothing to stop Jesus from remaking existing beings. That is what Jesus does when he heals. Jesus acts not just as the master of reality, but as its origin and cause as well, by making new things appear, as in the multiplication of the loaves. The world that expected life also expected God's creating action, which was revealed in Jesus' power to work miracles. Jesus is recognized now, on account of the miracles, as the Creator, the one by whom God made all things, and whose power of creation continues to be evident in miracles. He is the Lord of all things, because from the beginning of creation he was entrusted with power over the whole universe, and thus came to save what already belonged to him. In the miracle stories, Jesus' word plays an important role. It is not a magic spell, powerful in itself, but simply the expression of his power. The disciples characterized Jesus as a man powerful in deed and word. In the account of creation in Genesis, God's power of creation is also revealed in his word. The relationship between God's act of creation, which created through his word, and the cures affected by the words that Jesus pronounced, reveal the power of creation inherent to both. The church fathers, such as St. Irenaeus, related Jesus' miracles not just to the creation, but also to the final resurrection. Because he who has the power to restore life, Irenaeus wrote, also has the power to create it and take it to its fullness in eternal life. Because the maker of the universe, God's word, the same who formed man from the beginning, upon finding his creatures ruined by evil, cured them using all means, either in their separate parts, such as he had done when he formed them, or in their whole person, giving them health and wholeness. And he made them perfect men in anticipation of the resurrection. What could have moved him to heal the parts of the flesh and restore them to their original form if these parts that he healed were not to be saved? If the benefit he granted them was of such short duration, it was a small favor he did to those he healed. How can it be said of the flesh cured by him that it is incapable of the eternal life that proceeds from him? Consequently, he who heals also gives life, and he who gives life fits out his creatures with incorruption. Irenaeus at her 12:6.